came to yeshiva now. It's regular chav.
New guys in the shir.
Okay. So, everybody looks Jewish here. It's a good thing. I have a cheshek to talk to you about something very, very simple. Very simple. And I hope that... I hope that when it's something that's just simple, the mile of something simple is that it's easy to understand. The problem with something simple is that oftentimes, because it seems so simple, it's not taken as seriously as it should be taken. For instance, when you look at the Chofetz Chaim Svarim, which I'm sure you've done, I'm not talking about Mishnah Berurah and Shemir Zal, I'm not talking about Halacha, but his Svarim in Musar and in Jewish, the Svarim of the Chofetz Chaim are very, very simple. It's so simple that you could just whiz past something and not realize that he just hit you over the head. And if you would pay attention to it, it really could change your life. So there's always a danger in something that's simple. So I want to talk to you about something very simple. All of the Mefarshim are wondering, why is it that after all of the drama of Maimon Har Sinai, the Kolos of Brachim, the thunder, the lightning, the noise, the special effects, the Hisiris, the Ur, after all of that excitement, to descend so suddenly into Ve'ela HaMishpatim, right? All the Mefarshim talk about that. The Sfarim HaKadoshim, it's such a sudden drop. You're Mamish in the highest place. You're with Moshe Rabbeinu all the way up there. And the next thing you know, you're talking about Kisikne Eved Ivri, right? You're talking about very, very plain things. Very, very small inyanim in life. Many of these things are not nogeya day to day. So from being like in Maseches Atzilus, all of a sudden you're like in a sugya in Bava Kama. So why did the Baruch Shalom do that in the Seder of the Torah? Why did Hashem Baruch do that? And even more so, the Tachlis of all of creation is Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu Yos Li Yisborach, what? Dira B'Sachton. The Tachlis is that Hashem Baruch wants that we should be able to be in this world with Him, that there should be Ashras HaShechinah, that we should be able to be with Him in this world. So after Maimon Har Sinai, we would have expected V'osru L'migdash V'shechanti B'soichem, right? We would have expected not Parshas Mishpatim, even though there are some in Yonav of Maimon Har Sinai at the end of Mishpatim, but we would have expected from the parsha of Maimon Har Sinai, especially since the Ramban says that how do we bring Har Sinai into our lives, every single place, wherever we go, whatever we do, that there should be Ashras HaShechinah, that's the Mishkan. So we would have expected that after the big event of Maimon Har Sinai, and Hashem is Megala that He wants to be with us in this world, Atareis Ladask Hashem Elokim, Ein Od Mulvado, it's everything is Elokus, the way to connect to that Elokus, to feel the presence of the Bari Olam, is through the Mishkan. So we would have expected that right after Maimon Har Sinai, instead of descending into sugyas above a kam, above a basra, above Metziah, we would have expected to move into the Mishkan with the Shechina, Dir B'Tachtayna. The Medrash says it in such a beautiful way without going through the whole Medrash, but you know that Hashem has Baruch said that, Kitan Echet Hasel, I want you to make for me a place that I could always be with you. Sha'odur Beinechem, Odur is the Lashon of the month of Adar, Sha'odur Adira, Sha'odur Beinechem, the whole inin of the Mishkan is Sha'odur Beinechem, that I will be able to have a Adira with you. I will be able to be with you wherever you are. Sha'odur Beinechem, Sha'odur Eslechem, the different verses. I should be with you. So why do we have to wait until Parshas Truma for that? Like, what's this inin of Parshas Mishpatim? All the Sfarma talking about this. It's very anticlimactic, and it doesn't seem to fit. Right? So, now, you all know that the Gemara in Makis and Chav Gimel and the Beis going into Chav Dal, the Gemara in Makis tells us Klolei de Araisa, meaning that there are great principles. Zah Shar La Hashem. There are certain avoiders in Yiddishkeit that have the ability to bring us into the entirety of Yiddishkeit. Of course, what everybody remembers is Chavakuk Hamid and Alachas, right? Which is what? Tzadik? Vamonoso Yechi. Say that. Everything is Emunah. That's the klal of Torah. Everything comes from Emunah. But the Gemara there tells us, but David, the David of Melech, came v'hemid on Alachad Yisrael. David of Melech, and the Gemara brings Pesukim, David of Melech had 11 fundamental, basic principles that hold up all of Yiddishkeit. But the one I want to talk about now is Bo Micha. The Navi Micha came, v'he'emidan al shalosh. The Navi Micha came, v'he'emidan al shalosh, and he revealed that all of Yiddishkeit, according to him, his galus that he received, that all of Yiddishkeit is standing on three. Al Shalosh. The Chsiv says there in the sixth parak of Micha, Yigid lecha adam atayv v'ma Hashem derish mimcha. Hashem said, I'm going to tell you what is toiv, what is really good. V'ma Hashem derish mimcha. And what is it that Hashem expects of us? What does he demand of us? What does he expect of us? Now the next words sound like it would be on a sign outside of a Reformed temple. The reason I'm saying this is because when I went to Yeshiva, there was a Reformed temple around the corner, and this was the pasuk that it had on the outside of the temple. They'll never have on the outside of a Reformed temple to put on tefillin to keep Shabbos, you understand? They have to have something that's much more appealing and that speaks more in a general way without referring to something specific. So on the outside of that Reformed temple on 188th Street in Queens, they had this pasuk. It left out the part about Hashem. It didn't say Hashem's name, anything like that. They didn't want to say either. That could be a little bit of a problem to have God involved. But it says the following: Kim asos mishpat v'ahavas chesed v'atznea lechesem elokecha. Asos mishpat, pash mishpatim, asos mishpat, keep all of the mishpatim, the halachas, ben al mechaveru, and so on. V'ahavas chesed, and to love chesed. V'atznea lechesem elokecha. And I remember that from that temple, and walk humbly with thy God. I remember that part. Thy, here's, you know. Maybe now they fixed it and made it your God. I don't know if it's still there. But walk humbly with thy God. So this is a pasuk that everybody could be comfortable with, you know. It doesn't really pin you down to anything. Asos chesed. Asos mishpat, I'm sorry. Ahavas chesed. V'hatznei aleches. Go with it in a way that's tzanuah melekech. Walk humbly with Hashem. Humbly, walk in a way that's sanua with Hashem. So these are the shloisha, the three sha'arim, gates, that Micha understood It was revealed to me that through these gates, which is really also really one, I'm not going to go into the chilukim between Asoyis Mishpat, Ahavis Chesed, Hatznelech, not for now. But through this gate, Zah Shal Hashem, Tzadikim Yavovo, this will take you to all of Yiddishkeit. Of course, what the Reformed Temple meant to say was that this is all of Yiddishkeit. You don't have to put on film. You don't have to learn a Blat Gemara. But Micha is not saying that, of course. He's saying that the same way that it's Tzadik Ben Manasseh Yechia, that Emunah is not the only thing to believe, that through Emunah you will come to everything. And Don Melch had his 11 Yesaidis, and Micha has his 3. But these are his 3. Asayis Mishpat, Ahavis Chesed, Vatznela. But it means Pashas Mishpat. Asayis Mishpat. To be good Eilech Yidden that live according to the Shulchan Aruch. That's what it sounds like. Asayis Mishpat. So we need to understand why did Micha say this? How is it that that's a Pesach to the tachlis of our being in this world, to the whole tachlis of Maimon HaSinai? That's Aleph Beis. And it says, Higilecha Adam Matoiv. The Baruch Hashem is saying to us, I told you, I'm telling you, Matoiv. What's really good? Matoiv. What's good? Matoiv. That's it. These are the 3 things that are Tov. That's what the Reformed Temple wanted to put. This is what's Tov. Asayis Mishpat, Ahavis Chesed, Vatznei Leches. That's Tov. What about Shabbos? Is not good. Matana Toiv, Yeshli Vesinus. Shabbos is very good. So what does it mean to, when the Torah, when it says in Pasuk, Hilucham Adam Mat Toiv, it says in the Pasuk there, in Mich, Mat Toiv. This is defined as the Etzim of Tov. And finally, when it says in the Pasuk there in Michu, Ma Hashem Darish Mechad, what does Hashem demand of you? What does He expect of you? And then it says, Asayis Mishpat, and so on. What do you mean, what does Hashem demand? It says, Beferish and Chumash, and Pashas Ekev. Ma Hashem Akecha Shoyal Mimach, what does Hashem ask of you? But there it says something that sounds much more religious. Ki Im Li Ro'as Hashem L'Kecha, to have fear of God, to have Yiras Shamayim. So what is Micha asking? Ma Hashem Dorish? What is Hashem being Dorish from you? It already says Beferish Nechumish. Ma Hashem Shol Nimach, what He's asking of you. And there it says, Yiras Shamayim. So there's no machloikis between Micha and Chumash. So I saw a Torah from the Darchei Noyim from Slonim. Tovshin Ayin Hei. And he says something very, very simple. Well, you know, those of you who are familiar with Slonim Torah, that the Torahs are very, very simple, but you have to watch them carefully. Like I said about the Chavetz Chaim. The present Slonim Rebbe, he should be well, says the following. The Koyach of Torah, if a person really wants Torah, Torah has unlimited koiches to change us. It says in Hazinu, Yarev kemota lichi, tizal katalim rasi. The Torah is compared to water, like a storm. It says, kasiir maledesha, Rashi explains, like the strong winds make the grass strong, uchirvivim ale esav. And like the beautiful little drops of rain that fall upon the grass. Ucher vivim ali esav. Rashi says on this, Ucher vivim ali esav. Ma revivim halolu yordim ala sovim umadnim oisav mufankim oisav. That just like the raindrops fall upon the grass. Umaadnim osam. What does it mean? Maadain. How would you translate laadain? Well, what does the word mean? Adin. Adinus. What does it mean? Huh? I heard.
Fine.
To refine. Adinut, adinus edelkeit means something which is refined and noble and gentle. Adinut. Gentleness. Refinement. So listen to what Rashi says from Chazal. Ma revivim halolu yardim al asovim umma'adnim oysam umma'fantkim oysam. They're just like, you have the grass, but the little raindrops, I'm not talking about the rain, the mamish, the rain that makes everything grow, but the little raindrops that come afterwards, and the ma'adnim esasavim, they add a certain kind of a edelkeit, a gentleness, a certain sweetness to the blades of grass. That's what Rashi says. Umafankim. You know what the word means, mafankim? What does it mean, mafankim? When someone calls a person a mafunak, what does it mean? So it's not a compliment when it's used like that. Mufunak means spoiled. In modern Hebrew, mufunak, or in Yiddish, the way they said it in Yiddish, a mufunak means someone that's spoiled. It's a mufunak. But really, in a nice way, it doesn't mean something which is bad, a mufunak. It's like a prince, you understand, in the palace, in a nice way. Mufunak means when a person is very refined and very gentle, ma'adnim u'mufankim. Mufunakim, a mafunik in a holy way means when a person is very delicate. I'll explain a little bit more in a second. Delicate and gentle. Kach divrei Torah ma'adnim u'mufankim esloim deyam. So Rashi says that divrei Torah are ma'adnim u'mufankim esloim deyam. The divrei Torah bring an edelkeit, a fineness, a gentleness, a refinement to those who learn Torah. It says in Pasuk, the Torah is like a graceful adornment. That was a person who exists, but there's a certain chen. There's a chen, olivias chen. Like a beautiful, charming crown of chen. Again, what's chen? There's a certain sweetness, a beauty, a charm, a grace, a refinement, a gentleness. That's what Rashi says. So the Darach Hanoam explains that the Torah, Rashi is telling us, the Torah is telling us, that the Torah, limud haTorah, learning Torah, and a life of Torah, if a person be'emes wants to connect to it in a real way, has the ability to be ma'adain es nefesh ha'adam, to ennoble, to sweeten, to make gentle and refined. Today's Rabbi Leib Leib Gizyarzite, you know. It's the Kotzke Gizyarzite too. Well, there we can't speak about gentle with the Kotzke, but by Rabbi Leib Leib, he was the embodiment of everything that's the adinut, the adinus, the edelkei. Of Rabbi Leib Leib Gizyarzite. The Torah has that koach to make a person into a mufunik. Not a mufunik, a spoiled brat. Not in such a way, a mufunik. When we say the word, when an Israeli says the word mufunak, and it's used in that negative way, a mufunik means that you're very, very particular, right? Let's try to think about that bad word, spoiled. But when there is a child that's a mafunik, it means that every single thing he's particular about, the baby. The food has to be just right. If you've ever dealt with babies, if you have nieces or nephews, if you go like this with the spoon, no. It has to be like, yes. Every little thing with a baby is a mafunik. In an adult, when that's not in Kedusha, it's a person who's very, very hard to live with. Very hard to live with. I had a roommate here in the yeshiva, and he couldn't bear that when I would take my slippers off. So I would have one slipper over here, but and the other slipper, one was Mizrach and one was Marv, you know? It's like, so he couldn't, so he used to go, and he was always, every time he would put my slippers together. Now, I should have been more careful, and I saw, and after a while, I tried to be more mocked because I saw that he's crazy, you know. So, he was very mafunik, that What does it bother him? He's on the other side of the room. What does it make a difference to my slippers like that? He had such a, he was such a mafunik that everything had to be just a certain way. So that term mafunik, when it's in Kedusha, what does it mean? When it's in Kedusha, it means the following. This is what the Slonimus says. The Baruch Shalom put us into a world, Shalom Al says this in many places, Hashem Yisbarach put us together. Like this guy ended up in my room. Well, he was a better friend of mine before we roomed together. That often happens. We worked it out in the end. We're still friends. But the Baruch Shalom puts you together with other people. That's Yechuber L'chaim, like Shlomel says, that we're attached to life. Unless a person goes to live by himself somewhere in a cave, you live with Chaverim in Yeshiva. When you're married, you're mamish, Yechuber L'chaim. You're living with a barrier that is totally the opposite of who you are. It makes no difference how much you love each other and how you both listen to the same music. Your mamish, that's Mizrach Amarv. A guy and a girl is total different. Two different bias that Hashem Zbach made in the world. Two opposites. And the Baruch Shalom had such a rotzen that each and every one of us should be mechubarim el hachayim, that we should be connected to all different kinds of people. The people that we meet in our lives, all different kinds of people. The Baruch Shalom wanted that. What is the adinus, the edelkeit, the pinuk, that Rashi is talking about of kirvivim alei esef, like the raindrops that fall on the blades of grass, that the koyach of Torah creates, makes Jews into people who are adinim and mefunakim? It means that invariably, because Hashem Yisbarach puts us with people who are so different from us, because that's just how life is. You're always going to be with people who are different from you. They come from different backgrounds, different families. Every family has its own culture. You could be in one family. It's perfectly acceptable for a person to sit back at the Shabbos table. You'll forgive me for being a little bit coarse, you know, and loosening his belt and giving a greps. You know, that could be perfectly acceptable in one family. And everybody says, Shkoyach, Shkoyach. And the mother smiles with pride that, oh, it was a good challenge this week, and the whole chevra, they look at him and say, ah, good, very good. In one family, that's the culture. In one family, the slippers are apart. It could be like that. In one family, that's the culture. Nobody cares. Truth is, my mother didn't like my slippers being bought either. But that's the culture in that family. You go to another family, and in that family, if somebody blows his nose, everybody at the table looks at him like, what's the matter with you? You have to blow your nose, you should go like next door or something. Go outside, go to the bathroom. You don't blow your nose in public. I remember that I once got stuck in London for a week. I really didn't want to be there. But I got stuck there because this was around 40 years ago. And I was going back from Eretz Yisrael, and there were hundreds of Lahavdil college chevra and yeshiva bachim that we couldn't get flights. We couldn't get flights. There was a problem with British Airways, that we had flights with British Airways, and we couldn't get flights. There was a strike or something like that, and every day we had to go to the place and stand online. So I have Hasidic cousins in Stamford Hill, But I didn't want to go to Stamford Hill because my chaverim did not want to go to these chassidim for Shabbos. I got stuck there. So we stayed in Golders Green. Because somebody knew some guy from Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that it was from England and stay in Golders Green. So we were in this very, very like fancy house. it was so fancy that they had this lady, a maid, on Shabbos dressed, she wore like a thing, like in a movie, like in old movies, like an apron. And she brought the food in on a little wagon. And we were like giggling, you know, with these guys from New York, you know. And they're all very, very proper, these people. And forget about paper plates, nothing like that. There's all straight silver, you know. The drinks are in silver things. And one of the guys, I was there with two other friends, we got stuck together. So one of my friends had an Indian like that, a little bit of noise. An Indian. It wasn't a tekiah gedoyla or anything like that. It was a called the mamadaka, but it was yeshama, you understand? It was. So, the guys from New York, we didn't even notice it. I'm not joking. Listen, they like dropped their silverware. The English people, they everything like, and they, they sat back like, and I remember, and I didn't know what happened. We looked at each other. And they were like red, and so my friend realized it was like a little bit of a grapzilli, not a grapzilli, a little. So he just said, sorry, I don't know. So I didn't mean anything bad. So they said, oops, okay. But it was that feeling of this was something that like they don't do over there. This doesn't happen. It's not acceptable. It's a different culture. Totally, totally strange to us. We're just like regular guys from New York. This was strange to us. And I come from a Hungarian home. It's a proper home. You know, it's you can't leave stuff sitting around. It's very, very proper and neat. My parents, my mother. Okay, but al kidei kach such chumras. You know, a person's not allowed a little bit to be a ben chayrin on Shabbos. You know, it's a different culture. What does it mean that the Torah is ma'adein u'mefanek? And I wanted to say this at the beginning of the Zman, because you're back together. And I wanted to say this over from the Dachinoim. He says a very simple yesod. He says that what Rashi is telling us is that there are things that don't bother you, there are things that mean nothing to you, but they bother other people. There are things, for instance, I sleep here one night of the week, I sleep here Monday night. On any given Monday night, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, you could have like werewolves making sounds in the hall. Except they have two legs, you know what I mean? Guys that are like, I don't know, howling and making crazy noises. So I'm down the Kavschus that they don't know that there are any Jews sleeping over there on the ground floor. But these noises are loud enough to make it to the first or second floor also. Or people that will stand outside at 12 o'clock and just start screaming. Or you'll have cars that are waiting and guys will take their time and they'll walk on a red light and wait, make the cars wait. What the Dachinam explains, and I told you it's simple, is kirvivim alei esav, that the Torah has a way that if you want it to change you be'emes, to make you into somebody who is so edel, who's so refined. That doesn't mean you have to necessarily change your life and not be the person who lives the way that you're used to living, but it means that you're able to appreciate that there are other people and they're different than you. For instance, one thing that could hurt somebody very, very much, you have this a lot more with women, with girls. You could flaunt a certain outfit. You have this with the girls, even with certain financial success that you might have in one family, and you could cause another person to feel a kinna, to feel a kinna, to feel bad, to feel jealous. I had once a woman came to tell me how she doesn't have any children. She's married already for quite a few years, and she has two sisters-in-law. One has like 5 kids, the other has 6 kids, and all the time they're talking about their children in front of her. And she says she tries like to hear this, you know, but she goes home and cries every time. She cries every time because she's sitting in the park on Shabbos and everybody's with their strollers, you understand? Everybody's with their strollers And she's 7, 8 years, she can't have a baby. She's been to doctors, she's been to Kivrei Tzaddikim, she goes to get brachas. And her sister-in-law, all they talk about, oh, little uncle, this, little Moshe, that. And she tries. She's not saying that she's not happy for them that they have children. But it's like in her face. They're not even thinking that maybe we should try a little bit to downplay some of these inyanim, because she's brokenhearted. It's their sister-in-law. She's brokenhearted. She doesn't have any children. A person who's a mefunek, who's an edler person, who has this adinut of kirviv maleisev, he has this ability of simas halev, to take to heart, to automatically, like, you know, when you're lahavdil in the car and with the ways, and it tells you, like, if you make the wrong turn or something, it goes, and it adjusts to where you are now, that this is a different mahalach, and we have to try a different mahalach. There's a kirch that the Torah could bring to a person, and don't say, it's just, no, I don't have that nature, I'm sorry, I'm not like that. Because a person can say that about everything, it's not true. And I'll show you, we'll talk more about that in a minute. No, the Torah, if you take the Torah to heart, what the Torah is telling you, and you learn the Musa Sfarim, because really, if you look in Mesil Sharm and Yutes, in Chassidus, in the Shach Chassidus of Mesil Sharm, that's all he's talking about over there. That's what Chassidus means. Chassidus, old-fashioned Chassidus, I'm talking about before the Baal Shem Tov, Chassidus, if you look in the Mesil Sharm Yutes, that's exactly what he talks about the other Ramchal. That you're living among other people, and everybody is different. Your joke that might work in another place, in that place that you're in, that with that group that you're with, or those, or that person that you're next to, that could be hurting him very, very badly. That could be breaking him very, very badly. When you're talking and learning, if there's a guy there that it could be that he's not in that, he's not sharp, it's hard for him, to be conscious of that. And to say something where you give him an opportunity that he could contribute something, to talk about something where he could contribute. There's a certain edelkeit, there's a certain fineness. That's called livyas chayin. There's a chayin that a Jew has who has received these raindrops of kirvivim alei esav. Now let's come back to the question we began with. Eila mishpatim ashatosim lifneim. And Micha says, Asoyis mishpat ahavis chesed v'atznei lechzim lekecha. In other words, he's saying that parashas mishpatim, what's Parshat Mishpatim? Parshat Mishpatim is saying, if you could sum it up, you could say, don't be a mazik. Don't damage. Don't be a mazik. Be a gutter. A gutter means be good. Don't be a mazik. Don't harm. Don't damage. Don't insult. Don't humiliate. Don't embarrass. Don't be a mazik. So remember the question was, this is what Micha says, Ma Toiv? This is Toiv. What about Tefillin? What about Tzitzis? What about Shabbos? What about Yom Kippur? What about Limud HaTorah? Higid Lecha Adam Ma Toiv. So the Slonimus says, Higid Lecha Adam Ma Toiv. He says that a Jew that lives with Parshas Mishpatim, the Slonimus says, is so bachent. He's such a good mensch. He's Toiv. He's good. He's good. He's always adjusting himself to the people or the person that he's with. I remember watching Rav Moshe Feinstein, how he was with children. That I was a number of times to be in his apartment, and I once went to visit him in the country. I saw this by tzaddikim, the gutzkeit, the toiv of a tzaddik. Again, I'm not talking anything fancy. The chain of the tzaddik who knows how in a second to recalibrate, to recalculate, to come to this child and to understand who this child is, and at this moment that what this child needs, what this person needs, what my wife needs. That's, the Slonimus says, is higid l'cha adam ma toiv. The Divine Shalom says, I have a big shechina that I want to bring into the world. That was the question we began with. Ma Hashem dorish mincha? What does Hashem ask of us? Now, Parshas Ekev, of course, is saying, Ma Hashem Akecha Shoyl Mi'imach Kim Li'ir Ez Hashem. Parshas Ekev is telling us how to be in this world, how to conduct ourselves in this world with the way of Yiras Shamayim. But the Shlomo says, the Dachanim says that Micha is saying, not how to conduct yourself, what kind of a person to be. Not what to do. What to be. And what to be is Higil Lecha Adam Matayv. Asoyis Mishpat Vahavis Chesed Vahasnei Leches Emelokecha Hemidna Al Sholosh. And the Solomon says, Hemidna Al Sholosh Mahashem Doyresh Mahashem Doyresh. What does Hashem ask of us? What does he demand of us? So if we look at the Pasuk that Hashem introduced us to the Torah, the Pasuk right before Anoich Hashem Elokecha, right before Hashem's work said, right before it says, Eilad Vam Shadib Elokim, right before Eilad Vam Shadib Elokim, Anoich Hashem Elokim, right before that, Vatem Tiyuli Mamleches Kayhanim V'Goy Kodesh. I want you to be Mamleches Kayhanim V'Goy Kodesh. Mamleches Kayhanim V'Goy Kodesh. A kingdom of Kahanim and a Goy Kodesh. Here Rashi tells us that Kahanim doesn't mean you're a Kohen, you're a Levi, so it's a Mamleches Kahanim. Rashi says Kahanim, he shows in other places in Tanakh, that Kohen is a Loshon of a Sar V'Choshev. Sar V'Choshev means I want you to be Choshev a people. That was the introduction to Maimon HaSinai. Before Hashem said anything about Anoich Hashem Lekecha and Shabbos and the rest of the stuff, Hashem first said, I want you to know the tachlis of all of this that we're getting into right now is Higi Lecha Dematoy, Mashem Derish Mimcha. You know what that is? Atam Tili Mamleches Kahanim. I want you to be Mamleches Kahanim. Choshev a people. Higi Lecha Dematoy. Matoy. There's an expression, and it's amazing because it goes back to Sefer Micha too. Just another 5 minutes. It goes back to Micha. In the fifth parak in Micha, the Navi speaks about Jews who are called Nesichei Adam. Who knows what does the word mean, Nesich? What's Nesichei Adam? What's a Nesich? Anybody know? Huh? Yeah. It does mean, it means somebody anointed. It means a noble person, a prince, noble, nasich, nasiche adam. Chazal have a Kabbalah that's talking about specific people, who the nasich adam are. I'm not going to that right now. After the boys were killed in Merkez Rav Kook, there was a sefer that came out called Nasiche Adam, about the boys that were killed. It means people of nobility, princes, people of nobility. Nasiche adam. The Torah was given, Hashem's Baruch is saying, Atem Tilim Malach Sekehanu V'Goy Kodesh, and now here we go, Anoich Hashem Lekech. What does that mean? It means the Baruch Hashem is saying, I'm giving you the Torah, I want you to know the Torah is given to people who are interested in being Nesichei Adam. The Torah will resonate with people who are striving to become good dimension, good people. Nesichei Adam. Nesichei Adam. Refined, edel, gentle, caring, good. Asoyis mishpat, ahavis chesed, hasnei leches emelakech. And then v'yisimli skulim akal ha'amim, and only after that comes tanoich Hashem elakech. Now we could understand, chaver, we could understand why is it that this parsha comes before the Mishkan. Right after the parsha Maimon HaSinai comes Mishpatim. And then we come to what? Then we come from parshas Mishpatim. Then you go to v'osi l'miktiv shechanti b'soicham. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "V'shachanti b'soicham." You know the Chazal already tells. The Alshach is famous for saying it, but it's really in Chazal that "V'shachanti b'soicham" doesn't. It should say "V'shachanti b'socho." I will dwell in it, in the Mishkan. "V'shachanti b'soicham" means I will dwell in each and every one of you. You know, Hashem Baruch said, "There's a big world, but there's one place in the world. There's a mountain in Yerushalayim, and Hashem said about that mountain." Po, Yivisiyah. This is the place that I want to be in. Even though Hashem's everywhere. But this is my favorite place. This is where I'm going to live. Po, Yivisiyah. I long, Hashem said, I long for this place. I want to live in this place. So what we're learning today, this Torah of Mishpatim, is Hashem has a lot of people in the world. And he has Yidden also. Not so many, but he has Jews also. And Hashem looks around the world, And he looks at his people, of course, at Yidden. And when there's a Yid, when the Yid, this is what the Salam is saying, that when Hashem Yisbarach sees a Jew who cares about not screaming in the middle of the night because it might wake up somebody. Well, like the famous story of the Moshe Feinstein, when the driver closed the door on his finger, right? That everybody knows, he closed the door on his finger, and the Moshe stood there, he almost passed out from pain, but he wouldn't make a sound. Only went to, when he went, he said, thank you for the lift, and he walked, and he went into the yeshiva, and he went into the office, he almost fainted. He gave out a cry from his finger, closed the door on his finger, but he was afraid that the driver would hear that. Okay, how would you feel if you closed your hand on, you closed the door on the Gadol HaDor on his finger? It would hurt the person so badly. And the Sikh Adam, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when he was, I'm telling you things he all heard, his famous stories, not telling any mysterious stories. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is walking down the street coming to his apartment in Shari Chesed, right? You know the story? He's walking to his apartment, and he's walking with a guy who's asking him a million questions. He's the hakim the whole way. And he's walking to his apartment, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as he approaches his apartment, he starts to straighten his beard out. And he fixes his hat and his coat, and he makes himself, you know, look good, everything nice, and the bach that was walking was a little bit surprised and said, is the rebbe's expecting to meet there's a tamachoch, the a rav waiting. He said, no, it's my wife. You know that person that's called a wife. You don't know that you're not married, but the person that's called a wife, it's the easiest person in the world to let your guard down in front of that person, because you know you start to take the person for granted. You live with somebody. So there, you could be very, very liberal when it comes to making those Shabbos sounds, or how you look and how you act and so on. Nesiche Adam, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a prince among men. He was a royal person. The adinus of a Jew that he's already married for something like 70 years, you know? And he wanted to make sure that when he would come home that his beard should look nice, and that he should. So you would say, my mufunak kaze, is a mufunak, particular about his beard. You see Jews, they walk around, their payas is mizrachim harav, right? It's got one payah like this, the other one's like this. And the beard is, and they walk, all right, you could walk into the house, you see the wife's got, also could be like such a thing. It could be a lomasudar, right? But when you see a Jew, when the Baruch Shalom sees a Jew like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, like Reb Moshe, then the Baruch Shalom says about such a Jew, "Oy po'iv yisia, I want to dwell in this person. This is one of my guys." So you're wondering, why is it the Parashas of Mishpatim comes after Maamon HaSinai? What an anticlimactic thing it was. We were just in the clouds of Maamon with Moshe Rabbeinu talking about Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira. Who's talking about Asiya? Bechlal, who's talking about the lower world? Who's talking about Narishkeit, about straightening your tie out and your hat? Who's talking about all these Kleinekeit, Shosha Nagach? Who's talking about how you treat your slave? Who's talking about this? We're on big things. We're talking about Atzilus. We're in a very, very big place. We're learning Kisvei Ha'ari. And all of a sudden, the Torah throws us into Kisikna Evid Ivri. How do you treat an Evid? How do you treat a cow? And then comes what? Then the Torah comes with the whole Parashas Truman and says, Tachlis of the Bria is what? Dir b'tachtonim. That's right. Dir b'tachtonim doesn't mean to be in a nice building. It means to be in a nice Jew. In a good mensch. In somebody who's toiv. Because regarding a Jew who's toiv, the Baruch Shalom says, Poi ivisiha. Poi ivisiha. This is a person. This is Nosich Adam, is a good Yid. This is a person who is Molei Chayn. And Hashem is looking for Bachainte Jews to be with. When a person is a Jew, is a person of Asoyis Mishpat, Ahavis Chesed, Vatznei Leches, then he's Molei Chayn, he's Bachainte. In Hashem's eyes, he's a person that has Chayn. Even Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolis, somebody that's not a Ben Bris, but he's a good mensch. He's a good person. He's a friendly, kind, sensitive person. A gentle soul. He's Bachaint. The Baruch Shalom says, such people, I have a liking for such people. That's Hashem's taste. But if you're going to be a person that your whole world is your little tiny place and you're just saying fancy Torahs of Dir B'Sachtoinim, and you're reciting over all kinds of fancy things, not silas and dirbs achtayim. But at the same time, you're saying over that Torah, and you have your lamp on at night, and your roommate can't fall asleep because you're busy learning dirbs achtayim. This will give dirbs achtayim, right? You're busy. You're holding a big piece in Lekutei Torah from the Baal HaTanya. Dirbs achtayim. You're learning all about the Shechina HaKadosh. You're learning the Parshas Truma in Torah Or. Torah Or, in the meantime, there's a guy in your room that he's turning over already for the 50th time because he's trying to go to sleep. He's got a test the next day. Or whatever it is, he's got something in his life and he's knocked out and he's tired. And you're sitting there with your lamp on and this guy can't fall asleep and you're learning Dirbat Achtainim. And the Baruch Shalom is saying to you, Dirbat Achtainim. Dirbat Achtainim, get out of the room, turn off your lamp and go someplace else to read. And if there's no place else, then turn off your lamp and lie in bed and try to remember some Mishnayos or something. Your roommate's trying to go to sleep. What are you sitting there with the lamp on? You know why you're doing that? With your fancy Torah of Dirbat Achtainim? Because you don't give a hoot about the Shekhinah being in the world. Because there are two things. There's one that's going up to Hasina. The other thing is about Hashem as well coming down to this world. Hashem as well comes down to a world when that world cares about everybody else's world. But if you're so closed into your world that you don't even realize that the guy's having trouble going to sleep, because you're thinking, I can sleep with the light on. Right? I always fall asleep with the light on. So what's the matter with him? He's a low yitzchak or something? What's he turning over so many times? It's his problem, right? It's his problem. Somebody's waiting for you. You say, I'll meet you at 2 o'clock. I'm sorry, I'm taking up so much of your time. I told you it's simple, but it's to the point. You tell someone, I'm going to meet you at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, anach digetug. Not 2 o'clock, not 2:05, not 2:10, not 2:05. I'm not talking about an honest. It happens sometimes in honest. If you told somebody you're going to be there at 2 o'clock, you should be there at 5 to 2. Not 2 o'clock. Because the person is waiting for you. So your answer is, all right, okay. So everybody has to be so pinklich, you know. What is this, West Point? I have to be 2 o'clock. It's at 2 o'clock. I mean, Be'erach 2 o'clock. Yeah, maybe he meant 2 o'clock. When you told him 2 o'clock, he meant 2 o'clock. And he's standing there waiting for you. So from where you come from, in your house, by your parents, 2 o'clock meant 2:30, right? Maybe in his family, 2 o'clock means 1:55. Okay, you don't have to do that. But that's Lifnei Mishur Hadin. But 2 o'clock for sure, maybe it means 2 o'clock by him. So what are you coming at 2:15 walking in? Forget about an apology. If the guy looks like he's a little bit upset, you feel like you're insulted. What's the big deal? What are you making a big deal about? What's the big deal? It's not the way of Dir B'tachtayinim. Parshas Truma comes after Parshas Mishpatim. Chever, remember that. It means put out the light. Parshas Truma comes after Parshas Mishpatim. Don't be a mazik. Don't make noise. Don't be a loudmouth. Because it could be that your best friend thinks you're the coolest guy in the world because you're a loudmouth, but 20 other people think that you're an idiot. And they're not enjoying it. It just gives them a headache. Because you're a loudmouth, and you make all kinds of cracks. Could be not everybody's enjoying it. Could be you're causing agmas nefesh to other people. Pay EVC, Hashem Zbach says. V'shachanti b'soicham, in the Sichei Odom, in Jews that I have, achent, asoyis mishpat, ahavis chesed, v'atznei lechis. So Hashem Zbach should help us. You know, you begin a new zman, means it's a new zman of living with other people. We're not in a cheder. You don't go home to mommy after yeshiva. You're living in yeshiva. And we're all mechubar malachayim. We're connected with other people. And the right way to live is a way of kirviv ma'aliyesev, adinus, to be mefunokim in a holy way. And that's chus Hashem Yisbarach should help. That when Hashem Yisbarach sees that Jews want to be good, we want to be good, so then we'll be zoichet to Hashvas Hashchina, and we'll be zoichet to Hashem that to draw into our lives the good kite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is toiv, that Hashem is toiv, toiv Hashem l'kol, rachma v'kol ma'asav, and we should be zoichet for the gula shem v'amitis, amen v'amen. Shkoyim.